Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden and D. Quillen, your hosts for the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Horatio Nelson.
Horatio Nelson.
I'm coming back this week with gusto.
With the name Horatio, you have to have gusto.
That's what I've heard.
So, yep. I wonder if he's related to Willie.
I think he is.
Or Ricky.
Probably both, actually. I'm pretty sure. There's only so many Nelsons.
Well, they're the twins, you know, the twin that started the band, Nelson.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for that memory.
Grandpa is Horatio Nelson. I don't know.
Maybe it is. Could be. So anyway, this week we're going to talk to Atlantic Stage, a new company out of South Carolina for the Deep Fried Theater.
Outstanding.
Yep. And then, what the hell was our... I'm sort of looking, I've got the link, and I don't remember what.
And then,
the hell
and
was
then
talking
we're talking about inflatable churches and crazy Italians.
Are you serious? I mean, is that what we're going to talk about for them?
It's what you brought to the table. I don't. Maybe you're a little still hungover.
I think I am, but I didn't. I mean, I brought that up. I didn't know that we were actually going to talk. Well, that's fine. We can do that. That's okay.
But you're the one that.
Okay, that's fine. I don't mind.
Seemed hot to trot about this inflatable story, and he's, I don't. You know.
Well, it's, you know. That's fine. Let's see what happens. I'm perfectly fine with this because
I don't
got
know what
ideas.
It is with you and inflatable things.
Well, you know, it's okay. You ready to do it?
Not after talking about inflatable things, I'm a little uncomfortable here. Actually,
well, let's just do the show then, anyway.
Oh, okay.
Carlin Effect, go.
There is a tendency these days to complicate speech by adding unnecessary words. The following phrases all contain at least one word too many. Blue in color. Or crisis situation. Or leadership role. Or rain event.
Thus saith George.
Thus ends his catechism.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet. Yet I ask you to take time
to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play,
don't
in, the gutter,
all play
of course,
in the gutter, of course. Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some Deep Fried Theater!
Hey, John.
Yes, sir.
We have our biggest interview ever on the phone right now.
Biggest interview ever.
Biggest. Huge interview.
Huge.
Yeah, we have most of the founding company of Atlantic Stage in South Carolina.
Most?
Oh, well, most of them, yeah. There was a couple of them that had a little bit of trouble in traffic or something. But anyway, we have Monica Bell, who is directing a production of Art. She's also one of the founding members. Hi, Monica.
Hello.
We have John Woodson, who is the artistic director. He's also playing Mark in the production of Art.
Outstanding.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having us.
Glad to. We have a good buddy of mine, Tom Penn, who is the managing director and playing Yvonne in the show.
Hello.
And that sultry voice I got to hear all the way through grad school.
This is a cohort. He's a cohort.
He's the only cohort.
He's the only
cohort. Only cohort. Well, Mindy is too. Hi, Mindy's his wife, Mindy Penn.
Hi.
See, there she is.
So, this is the background. We don't ever see her on the website. Maybe.
No, she's like one of those shadow members of the company.
Yeah. Right.
I am the puppet master.
And we have Steve Ernest, who's also a founding member. He's playing Serge.
Hello.
So now that you've gotten all of their voices and you've gotten them memorized.
There'll be a pop quiz.
There will be a pop quiz later on. Perhaps the best way to go about doing this is that when you do start to say something, just say your name so that we know who's saying it. Although we probably won't have that much trouble distinguishing Monica and Mindy. Anyway,
Well, we might. You never know.
Yeah, I could talk really high.
So
that was John.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So Atlantic Stage, this is your inaugural production. It's going to be, coming up very soon, the 14th through the 17th and 21st through the 24th of August.
Wow. Kudos, guys.
So
thank you.
Tell us about this process of getting to your inaugural production. How long of a process in building this company has there been and all of that good stuff?
Well, this is John, and it's been really fast. The five of us met with our stage manager, Marjorie, at the Atlanta Bread Company, which is no longer for some reason, and we talked about doing this production of art and seeing how all of us could work together during the year, and literally it went from, well, I have some old shoes and an old painting, and let's, you know, put on a production of art, to forming this company within literally a few weeks. And Tom will speak to the background. He had a lot of the background material already in his back pocket. So go ahead, Tom.
Yes. T, as you know, Mindy and I moved here to the beach with the plan of starting a theater. But one of the problems that we ran into is that we could never garner enough support. We never wanted to do it on our own. We wanted to gather an ensemble of people with whom we could work together on a consistent basis. And what happened in that meeting at Atlanta Bread Company is that I think a number of people just realized that the people who wanted the same thing sort of reached a critical mass. So now there were enough people who wanted to form an ensemble with whom they could work consistently to actually make it happen. And it just exploded. Literally, as John said, in a matter of weeks, we went from five people who Little Rascal style said, hey, let's put on a show to a full company of, where are we, nearly 20 now, John?
I think we're at 20 people now and probably approaching 22 to 25 soon.
Wow, right? That's incredible. Did you have a lot of competition for the three roles in art?
I believe they were the three men present.
Right.
I just got an email saying, would you like to do a part? And I always respond positively to those.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah, so the casting was totally in-house in this particular venture.
Good. That's sometimes best.
Hey, if I could throw a comment in.
Brilliantly cast, I might say.
Thank you, Monica.
And
that's awesome.
Monica, I'm the director of art. And brilliantly cast. It's working very well in that way. And actually, the whole formation of the company is working very well. I mean, it's really been without a hitch so far. But, you know, give us a few more weeks. We'll see what we can come up with.
I think that was Steve that said he wanted to throw a comment in. Steve, was that you?
Yeah. This is Steve. I moved to Myrtle Beach from California, Southern California, in 2005, from a landscape of professional theater, and was very accustomed to being able to work whenever my schedule allowed in union houses, and when I got here I quickly realized there was nothing like that here, and it became a very immediate goal to try and at least be a part of the creation of something like that. So it's really been a thrill to see that happen.
Okay, I'm sorry, my 3-year-old is turning blue, so I think we're gonna have to take him to the hospital. But you all carry on. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, thanks,
right.
Tom. Sorry. Well, that would be a reason.
Turning
to,
blue,
that would definitely be a reason
blue is
to.
Not good.
No.
No.
Yeah.
And then we'll check back in with him later on. Monica, tell us about the show. Tell us about, why art? Were you in on the choice of the show and all of that stuff? Why art as your inaugural production?
Yeah, we came up with this. I mean, I frankly think it's serendipitous, that we came up with something entitled Art for the beginning of an artistic endeavor here in Myrtle Beach. So, I mean, I love the way that's all worked so beautifully. We were looking for a smaller show, and we were looking around and saying, in terms of casting, and I think that, again, it wasn't really so tongue-in-cheek, it is a beautiful casting. Something that we could step into easily, that didn't demand actually a large set and stuff that we don't necessarily have in our back pocket at this time, that we could do in an artful manner, with a relatively low budget. It is really based on the actor's work, this piece. in particular. It's an actor-driven piece, and not necessarily a production-driven piece. And it's a beautiful play. It's a wonderful play. It's funny and it's deep, and it really had everything that we wanted to launch the Atlantic Stage Company.
And this is John. You know, that is sort of our philosophy, hopefully, that we will be adhering to for the as the ensemble, is that things are going to be artist-driven and not necessarily, you know, the other way around, a lot of theater companies. I was the artistic and executive director of the Warehouse Theater in Greenville, South Carolina for 5 years. That's how Monica and I wound up down south. And, you know, there was a lot of great things about that job, and I learned a lot about a company that I inherited that was 30 years old. And, you know, so I've had some time to reflect on some of the good things from there, and the fact that I really wanted to create an ensemble that everybody had an ownership to. I think that's very, very important for artists.
That's awesome. That's absolutely incredible.
Great. So you've kind of found each other artistically, but how have you gauged, how is the community response to you being, you know, starting a new company? How has the community responded?
Well, I'll let Steve answer that, but I was going to just throw in quickly that, well, we don't know yet because we haven't opened yet, but I think from the little bit that we've eked out as far as PR and marketing, because we're on a guerrilla budget that way, everything has been very positive and in some ways welcoming, but I could be deluding myself.
Well, no, I think, this is Steve again, I think John is absolutely right. We really don't know, but we have, you know, since I've been here, as I said, I've only been here 3 years, I've been putting a lot of feelers out in the entire Grand Strand area, down in Pawleys Island, up in North Myrtle Beach, and there does seem to be a community of people who have, you know, mostly transplants, frankly, who have, you know, been to Broadway. They've seen professional theater, and they understand, you know, what that there is a difference. There is a difference between people who've worked in theater most of their lives and who've been trained, who would like to see that. And there is a move, a push to have a new theater built in Myrtle Beach down at the convention center, and that's going to come to fruition. So it looks like there's a real desire in this community to have you know, more elite art institutions.
Well, that's great anywhere. I mean, given this time period, that's absolutely fantastic. What is your fundraising? What has your fundraising been like? I don't mean how much money have you raised. I'm talking about, like, how did you guys put your budget together? Was this, I mean, is this an out-of-pocket venture so far, or have you actually been out doing some fundraising?
No, we haven't really, been doing fundraising, per se. We did get together with the local arts council, and they're being our fiscal agent, while we get our paperwork together for this day, because literally, we're in the show, and we're also, you know, becoming legal at the same time. Mm. So I guess we're like a 17-year-old. No, so we haven't done any formal fundraising. Once art opens, we'll do that. Mindy and another ensemble member have put together a fantastic sort of sponsorship list. And there are some people in the community, business owners, who want to give. And so that's why right away we were able to get that relationship with the Arts Council so that we could accept donations while we are becoming legal in that sense.
Oh, that's great. I'm sure that will help out a lot. And you're already selling tickets online? I mean, that's pretty impressive.
We are. We're on tickets online. You know, what's great about this technology is that we have this company called TicketLeap, and basically we can interface it with our website, and, you know, it's free. It's free software for us, and we can sell tickets and look like, you know, we know what we're doing as far as that goes. So all those kind of tools, you know, and podcasting like you guys are doing. I mean, all this is so great, and we really want to incorporate that as part of our ideology of how we're running the theater. We're going to use those tools, you know.
That's great. Monica, who's your favorite member of the cast?
Well, sorry. Really, I'll reveal that after the show closes.
Oh, no. Good call.
Wow.
How was that?
That means she's going to force us to do a follow-up.
That's right. Now we have to call you back.
Yeah, that's the idea.
How long has your rehearsal process been? Has there been one?
Not nearly long enough. 2 weeks.
Wow.
Well, it's about to, just a couple of weeks, really, 2.5 weeks or so. So it's fast and furious. But with a three-hander, you know, you're working pretty deeply in rehearsal. You know, they're all two- or three-person scenes, obviously, or solo pieces in the play. So it's a lot of intense work, and you can do it in a quicker time than if you have a large cast.
And to be fair, too, a lot of it was because we're not, we have this great excuse from Equity. That's not the right word, excuse. We have a concession from Equity so that we can, as Equity members, all work basically for free for this first season. And because of that, you know, we're very mindful of everybody's schedule.
Right.
Steve had a couple of commitments. Everybody's had a commitment or two that we're trying to work around to pull this together. But I have to say, looking into the theater yesterday and seeing all these people, you know, we're rehearsing and there's people putting in the set, which is really glorious. You know, the lighting, we've got a painter, we've got a beautiful painter. Well, yeah. And there's so many people working there. Marjorie Mitchell, who's our stage manager, looked up and says, gosh, look at all these people working for us and nobody's getting paid at this point, you know?
Wow, that's...
That will hopefully end soon.
Yeah. You mean you hope they'll get paid soon is what
right,
you mean, I think.
One way or the other, it'll probably end soon.
At some point, yeah.
There you go. Let's see. The website is atlanticstage.com. We have the show dates are August 14th through the 17th, 21st through the 24th. Tell me again, who built the website for you guys? Because it looks really great for a company that is as young as you guys are claiming to be. That, I mean, that's a really, really great website.
Well,
Ken Martin. Ken Martin, who is the chair of the department at a theater at Coastal Carolina University, which I wanted to mention, we have some really big training wheels on this company, and that is the theater department of Coastal Carolina University, and it's a mutual support, because we feel that by starting a professional theater company that is sort of at least guided along by a university in its fledgling stages, that it will eventually be a source of employment for graduates of not only Coastal Carolina University, but theater programs throughout the Southeast. It's a very common trend in American theater that professional theater companies are associated with universities, and we feel like this will be a positive step for both the company and for Coastal Carolina University.
Well, that's great. And so I don't guess we've said that yet. The show is going to be on the
right.
campus of Coastal Carolina. That's great stuff.
They are sort of our producing partner. Ken Martin is the chair of the department. He's also our Atlantic Stage's producing director. Okay. And then we have a fabulous young lady named Daryl Fazio, who's done all of the graphics. And she is an absolute joy to work with. And she's very, very immensely talented. Not only is she a wonderful graphic artist, but she's also a producible and produced playwright.
Excellent. Now, I'm looking at the website really quickly. It looks like the only place to get tickets right now is on the website. Is there a telephone number that you guys have not listed yet that's available, or is it only via the website?
It's right now on the website. We do have the telephone number, which is going active, and it's going active today. I know it's 8TS6 is the phone number. I think it's 877.
Okay, so it's
mainly just go to the website.
Okay.
And that will be posted.
And that's atlanticstage.com. Guys, thank you so very much. John Woodson, Monica Bell, and Steve Ernest, thank you so much for sitting in with us today. And we look forward to hearing great things from this company.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Break a leg. Hey, T.
Yeah.
When we don't have guests in studio, how do we talk to them?
Interesting question, John. We use a program called Skype.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What is that about?
Well, it's a piece of software that you can download it. It's free to download. You can use it to talk to other Skype users over the internet for free, or you can make cheap phone calls to phones and mobile phones worldwide through the Skype Out program.
Okay, and how would I, perchance, acquire Skype?
Well, what you can do is you can go to inexplicabledumbshow.com and click on the download Skype button on the left-hand side of the page.
It's as easy as that?
It's as easy as that.
Wow. I'll go do that right now.
Want to stay current with The Inexplicable Dumb Show?
It's quick and it's easy and it's free.
Click the subscribe button at inexplicabledumbshow.com
and you'll never have to miss an episode.
If you love The Inexplicable Dumb Show like I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve, or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow.
Hey, man.
What?
Hey, did you hear the you hear the news?
What news? What
you know, the news. What? It's the news about.
What? Well, Catholic nuns and priests in Italy are following their flocks to the beach this summer, establishing an inflatable church and a beach convent in the sands to lure sunbathers.
Okay. An inflatable church mm-hmm. and a convent.
No,
just,
no, no.
Just in yeah. case.
The 30-meter or 98-foot long blow-up church. I have trouble saying that with a straight face. Staffed by priests ready to take confession, will debut on Saturday on the Adriatic coast in the Molise region, an organizer said. By the way, this is datelined August the 7th.
So I don't understand why you can't say blow up church.
We'll talk about that.
I don't get.
We'll talk about that a little
what's
bit.
The inference? What else do you blow up?
I'll explain it a little bit later on to you.
You know, you can tell me now.
I got some pictures. I'll show you later. There will be four or five people singing with music about God. Said Chiara Facci. I'm probably mispronouncing that. Their nighttime activities will not include mass, will run from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. And then check this out. The first attempt to inaugurate the inflatable church last month on the holiday island of Sardinia failed after strong winds forced organizers to relocate, she said.
So we've got an inflatable church. We got an inflatable device.
Right.
And Italians.
Mm-hmm.
On a beach.
Mm-hmm. In the summertime.
In the summertime.
And then strong winds blow it over while they're trying to set it up.
And we're singing songs about Jesus.
Yeah. Now, can you just hear the priests now arguing, No, set it up again. That wasn't the hand of God.
Yeah.
Set it up right now.
No, that big, big gust of wind that blew our church away. No, that's not anybody telling us anything.
Big cities like Rome and Milan empty in August when Italians head to the beach for summer holidays, leaving streets empty and many businesses closed. Churches are hardly immune. They also see their congregations thin. On the Mediterranean coast, nuns from a convent near the southern Italian city of Naples have relocated to beach cabins to join holidaymakers saying the rosary. An adjoining altar was set up under two tents.
Now, do the nuns get to lay out, too?
I guess they do, but...
I mean, is that why they...
You can only get a face tan, really.
Is that why they have the inflatable convent, so they can lay out and get some sun?
The convent's not inflatable. They have an altar set up under two tents.
Oh, you said in the beginning it was an inflatable church and a convent.
Right, maybe it's just bad writing because that doesn't mean that it's both.
Skip the wow.
Yeah,
you're pretty good at pretty adept at passing the buck there.
Chief. Hey, I've seen CNN establishing an inflatable church and a beach convent. It does make it sound like that they're both inflatable, but as you read further down in the article, alas, it is not so. The concept of a beach convent is something that is appreciated by vacationers and the nuns themselves, says priest Antonio Rungi. Which, again, I'm probably mispronouncing, who helped spearhead the initiative.
Oh, so yeah, spearhead the inflatable church going to the beach to look at the half-naked people.
Told the Italian news agency ANSA. Yeah.
Well, I'm really curious. I mean, I wonder if the nuns get to lay out, because
I'm sure they do. It's probably really, really hot.
Well, I mean, they don't, you know.
No, I mean, really hot.
Oh, yeah. Really?
What do you think I meant?
Well, I mean, I thought, I guess I was thinking temperature, but I don't think that's what you meant. I think you
no, that's that exactly yeah, no, that's exactly
you
what
like
I
the meant. Little, mm-hmm. Well, some nuns
that's
are
exactly
hot, man.
What I meant. Mm-hmm.
Some nuns, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't feel guilty for saying that?
I'm not Catholic. I don't care. Nuns are hot, especially the spankings.
That's awkward.
Wait a minute. Pope Gregory?
I'm going to scoot over here. There's water ankle deep here.
All the physical abuse, that's Santa.
I guess you get
some kicks.
To each his own. But 98 feet long, though. 98 foot long blow up church. Now, do you think they painted the inside of this blow-up church to look like, you know, I don't know,
the Sistine Chapel?
The Sistine Chapel, or, you know?
I don't know, but I mean, it's just, why 98 feet? Is that some sort of,
I think it's like 40 cubits. I don't have any clue.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry, so many jokes. But I just love the fact that the first time they tried to set it up, a big strong wind blew it over, and there's no comment about, maybe this isn't what God wants us to do.
Yeah. Could you imagine being the Italians, you know, and being at the beach? God, thank God I don't have to go to church today.
How many kids showed up to think it was a bounce house?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, mommy, let's go to the carnival with all the really weird dressed freaks. They're not freaks, honey. That's Sister Mary Rosa.
Oh, bouncing for Jesus.
Bouncing for Gigi. Jumping for the lamb.
I'm telling you, man. I wonder how tall it is. 98 feet long, but it doesn't say how tall it is. So, I mean, is it like one of those things that you walk in and, you know, if you're 6 foot tall, your head's rubbing the top of it? Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Wow.
Out loud.
Wow. I don't know about rubbing heads, but...
It is inflatable.
Well, I still don't understand that. I mean, you're going to have
Italians. I've got some pictures I'll show you. We'll put a link on the website.
I mean, I don't know. Well, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And if you would think, you blow it up, you would think, all right, you know... I don't know. I think the priest had pitched a tent before.
Yeah.
So they should know how, you know, that you can't just pitch a tent and not stake it with something.
True. I just keep thinking of the... I mean, they really have truly had this philosophy of, if we build it, they will come. You know?
Again.
What? What are you... Oh, you thought I meant...
I don't know. I don't know how to read you today. I mean, it just seems... I mean, but... Yeah, going back, I mean, if you're pitching a tent, you need to have the capability to lay that sucker down, you know?
Yeah. And make sure those strong winds aren't going to carry it away.
I mean, the last thing you want to be is blown.
First, there was one. And then, there was this other guy. We wanted to add another guy. I mean, in addition to the first two guys, but the studio is too small for that. Instead, that third guy, let's just say he wound up unemployed and having to read ad copy in an announcer's voice, but I guess it makes sense. I mean, it is T for two, right? It's two's company, right? Unless your landlord is Don Knotts. If lousy cheap bastards couldn't have thought outside the box just this one freaking time, huh? Couldn't have thrown somebody a bone, could you? Mommy. I should have become a veterinarian. I'm sorry.
All right. Let's just focus on the next segment. Go to the two shot.
So how's the little man over there?
Doing better.
Yeah?
Doing better. It took us... it took him almost a week to eat anything. He wouldn't even drink anything. And a lot of it was psychological. So like the day after we got him home, he was really hungry after not having eaten anything, you know, all day, for the day before pretty much. And, we got him home and, Becca sat down with a bowl of spaghetti and he looked at it because spaghetti is one of his favorite things. And he looked at it and he pointed at it and she was like, you want some? Absolutely. So we gave him some, right? Cause the doctor told us, give him anything he wants as long as it's not hot.
Right.
You know, or sharp, like chips or something like that. But give him anything he wants. Cool. We gave him a little bit, but he was so hungry and ravenous that he was literally taking handfuls of it and shoving it in his mouth and then trying to swallow them on top of his tonsillectomy scars. And obviously that was not... You okay over there?
Yeah.
It was obviously not very comfortable. It was actually very, very painful for him. Well, so that really turned him off to eating or drinking anything for the next... several days. I mean, anything, if we put any kind of food or water in front of him, he would just become unglued. You know, he would become hysterical and panicky.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, we found out the hard way that he was allergic to hydrocodone.
Nice.
We gave it to him, and rather than putting him to sleep, he was, we had to try to pry his fingernails out of the ceiling. and of course the doctor told us, you know, no physical activity. And he's literally running laps around the living room where we're trying to, you know, keep him, hold him still. And he's fighting us and wrestling us and all that stuff. So we could not give him that anymore. So the first night after having had the surgery, and when the pain is the most intense, he was having to suffer through it on over the counter, regular strength children's Tylenol.
Wow.
Which we were giving him regularly, but I mean, it was like clockwork. Whenever the dosage said it was time, he would start crying. But because he was afraid to swallow, he didn't want to take his medicine. So we had to force the medicine down his throat.
Wow.
So I mean, it was an interesting week. He didn't eat anything on his own until Tuesday. And, out of the blue, he all of a sudden looks up at me and says, "Yeah, pizza. You want pizza?" All of a sudden, we're both in the car. I mean, all three of us are in the car, and I'm headed to a pizza joint, right? Getting some pizza. Bringing home, he eats two slices and drinks two glasses of chocolate milk.
And wow.
He's suffering through it. I mean, I can tell he's wincing a little bit when he swallows, but that has gotten better over the last couple of days. And he's very much well on the road to recovery. He's smiling and talking a lot more and still got a little kind of a dry cough, like he's got something in his throat. I mean, I guess he does, but, you know, but he's doing a lot better. Doing a lot better. It was a really, really rough week, though.
Wow. Yeah. When I stopped by, you looked pretty rough.
Well, I mean, I hadn't slept in almost 48 hours by that point. And I mean, except for maybe like an hour here and an hour there just to kind of catnap. But, yeah, the second day, Becca had to go back to work, you know, so she was off the day of the surgery. And I was, it's been a rough week. Been a rough week.
I'm glad he's doing better. And yeah. I get to tell you about painkillers.
Okay.
So, Tara at one point had all four wisdom teeth out at the same time.
I did that too.
Go ahead. is what I did, right? Mm. So, it's very funny. We take her in, you know, and I'm sitting there out in the lobby reading a book. Come back, 35, 40 minutes later. Completely just bonzo on medication. Mm-hmm. And she looks at me, she's like, "When are they going to do it?" I'm like, "Honey, they've done it already." "Really? When are they gonna do it? You know, so she's, you know, tripped out. So they give her a prescription to Demerol. Okay. Which, have you had Demerol?
No, but I've heard stories.
Okay, so Demerol, yeah, I mean, Demerol they used to give to athletes all the time.
Right, okay.
If you had like a tweaked hamstring or something, sure, or something, you'd take Demerol and you couldn't feel anything and you could keep playing.
Right, okay.
Right. So.
Which sounds great, by the way. Go ahead.
Right. It's pretty wonderful stuff. You want to be numb for like 50 hours. We get her home.
Okay.
You know, and, I become Nurse Ratchet. and I'm reading the thing and I, you know, okay. So, all right. Tablespoon of this every whenever, whatever, whatever. So for that first weekend, she'd say, "I need some medicine." So I'd give her medicine, right? Pour it in the tablespoon, hand it to her, she'd take it, and like 10 minutes later, she'd be out. Well, that's pretty sweet. You
know? Good gig.
Yeah, she'd wake up, drill, go, "Oh, yeah," and say, "Oh, here you go." So I had her knocked up about, you know, the weekend.
Under control.
This whole situation, you know, I thought, wow, this is really good.
Right.
She's going to, you know, have the weekend and then she's going to come back.
Heal up real good.
Yeah. And it's, you know, she's not worrying me out with whining about how bad she feels because she's unconscious most of the time. You know, so anyway, but, you know, so she gets better and better and needs less and less or less frequent medication. I made a mistake. I didn't let her. I mean, I didn't dose her one time. She got to dose herself at one point.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. And, she read the bottle and apparently I misread tablespoon and it was supposed to be teaspoon.
So you've been ODing her?
So I've been giving her like double the dose, whatever.
Oh my
God. Demerol, which was what was causing her to be just flat out.
Oh my God. That is, but you're, yeah, I know. My friend, what you were doing.
That was a great weekend. Yeah. Wow, she didn't remember most of it.
The one time that I had my knee scoped a couple of years ago and they put me on, I don't know what it was, but it was nasty stuff. And rather than, it killed the pain, but I turned into Satan when I was on this medicine. I mean, it would make me evil. And, you know, Becca would come in and one of the things the doctor said is after 24 hours, he needs to get up and start walking a little bit, you know, to help the knees heal better and everything. And of course, that hurts. That's not, you know, I don't want to do that. It's like, right. You know, it's physical therapy. So I'm like, you know, so I'm still on the painkillers. And she comes in and Rebecca comes in and she's like, okay, well, the doctor says you need to get up. And I'm like, I can't. I just can't get up. And it starts out civil. Really quickly, it turns into, I will not get the fuck out of this bed. Get out of my room, nurse Ratchet. And I called her that. Fine. Just sit there and your legs rot off. Slam. You know, and I'm just sitting there fuming because I can't get up and chase her and argue with her anymore. And I'm just like, you know, but I
text her.
So she comes back in and I said, don't give me any more of that medicine. Give me Tylenol. And that's it. Don't give me any more of that crap because I don't want it. And that whatever it was not pleasant for either one of us.
Yeah. When I had my wisdom teeth out, I had Demerol and I took that the first day.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's typically what I do whenever I have something like that.
And it didn't knock me out.
Mm-hmm.
Like it, you know, I guess proper dosage didn't knock me out. But I was numb. I was just like, you know, and kind of in a world that wasn't really a world. Yeah. And you're just kind of floating around going,
at least it doesn't hurt.
Right.
Yeah.
But you don't feel anything.
Right.
You know, and no, sir, I didn't mm-hmm. like that at all.
Yeah, I don't care for that.
I didn't care for that at all. So I've switched over to Tylenol.
Yeah, I do hate that.
This
I
mean, segment of news medical update brought to you by
Tylenol.
children and adult strength.
So yeah,
grape flavored.
Ian is Ian's doing better though, and
that's good.
I just hate that I had to give him Tylenol on the day one. I mean, the painkiller's there for the intense pain, and that's when it's the worst. And he was having to, you know, kind of man his way through it. You know, and it wasn't fun, but we survived.
And he's a little butch boy, though. I
mean, he is that.
He's ripped needles out of his skin.
Yep.
And
yep. Yeah, we didn't have any issues, by the way, on the IV. They gave him a little gas, and he was just fine while they put the IV in. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, when they were taking blood, when they did the blood, I don't know if we talked about this on the show. When they were taking blood for his blood work before his surgery, he actually grabbed the needle out of his arm while they were taking blood out of his arm. And you know, of course,
I still remember bruised
the vein, and
I remember. I had four or five. I had to take blood for something, and I remember. I mean, I was freaking out. They had to have. This is Mississippi, so take it as it is, I guess. This huge black woman had to come in and lay across me.
That's not that far different from what.
So
Ian
that
had
they could take two, like 10 cc's of
right,
blood
that's
or whatever.
What they had, yeah.
Yeah, she had to. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I was four or five, roughly his age.
Yeah,
I remember. Yeah, she had to come in and just lay
strong
across me,
as an ox,
so that I wouldn't fight it. I couldn't fight it.
I've been joking with friends that he turned into the Incredible Hulk. You know, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Yeah,
ripping that crap out of his arm. Anyway, he's doing better though now. So,
well, that's good.
Yeah.
If you like what you hear on the Inexplicable Dumb Show, why not take a minute or two to fill out our listener survey? By filling out this anonymous survey, you make it possible for us to attract potential advertisers so we can keep bringing you our show for free. Go to our website and click the listener survey button to start now. www.inexplicabledumbshow.com.
All right, so Horatio Nelson?
Episode 104, Horatio Nelson.
That's right, that's what this one is. Do you have any clue? And I know you haven't had a week to think about it, you know.
Yeah.
By the way, thanks for last week too. I'm gonna say that.
Did
again.
You enjoy? Did you finally listen to it?
No, but I'm saying thank you for saying thank you for anyway for
wow,
bailing me out there.
Yeah. 20 minutes can't make.
No, CAD. Right. No. Horatio Nelson. We'll talk more about the episode in a minute. Do you have a guess at all?
No.
Okay. It's the number of guns on Admiral Horatio Nelson's flagship HMS Victory is 104.
Wow.
I know my history. What you got for me, 405?
You're pulling out your semen history.
I am. Yep. Yep.
Wow. I'm going to call 105 Spectacular Bid.
Okay. All right.
So that's it. 104. Horatio Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
Big guns.
No.
Big sailor guns.
Inflatable. Churches and
flammable churches and a new theater company.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I hope
on the beach where they might could use
they may, you know, that's what they ought to do.
Inflatable stage or
it's
something.
It's a shame we didn't tell them about that beforehand. When we call back to find out how the show went and all that stuff.
Right. We might want to suggest
we'll suggest that as a temporary venue for them. Yeah.
Because I think that would be nice.
An inflatable
beach. Yeah. Inflatable.
We might be able to, just talking out louder, we may be able to come up with There might be a market for inflatable theaters.
There might be, you know.
You just never,
you
never know.
You never know.
So
they might float, so yeah, they'd be really good.
Then
in
you
hurricane
have to blow them.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
That's true.
I could just see you.
Almost done?
No, another hour.
Is this a proscenium arch or a thrust?
Don't say thrust again that way.
Or arch.
Or arch, yeah.
Or blowing in the same sentence, yeah. All right,
wow.
Well.
So there we go.
FCC.
And you've got, what were you going to call 105 again? What was it?
Spectacular Bid.
Spectacular Bid. Well, I can't wait to find out what that's about. So
I bet you can't.
No, really can't. And I'm also interested to find out what we're going to talk about next week.
So am I.
Well, then, until then, hey, we'll see you.
Bye. That's a detergent.
Man, what's all this?
Huh?
What is all this? What have you done?
Oh, I just kind of spruced the place up a little bit, you know.
Well, you look like you're celebrating something. What? I mean.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it's.
Is that champagne?
It is. It's.
And strawberries.
Yeah.
Are you trying to come on to me?
It would be something that I thought you might want to remember. But that's remember. Okay. I can take all this back. It's no big deal. That's fine. I mean, you know, it's
remember,
all right.
Remember.
It's okay.
What is it? It's Monday, like it always is. It's Monday, a podcast.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, good.
Like it's
glad you got that down.
It's, you know, we've been doing this for about 2 years now. So I guess
about two years. 2 years.
I forgot, didn't I?
Yep. Did. Yeah.
Come on, I can't. I'm sorry.
Here's your card.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Happy years. Yeah. Thanks for 2 wonderful years. Here's to 2 more. Your co-host, John.
Yep. 2 years.
Well, mine
happy
is
anniversary.
Mine is on back order.
Yeah, it's in way back order.
I'm sorry, man. I really am.
I mean, I understand you got a lot going on and everything.
Is it today?
Yeah, we do the simple. We do an episode every week,
right?
Yeah, and it's 52 weeks
in a year.
Yeah, and this is episode.
Okay, you want to take that back to the card?
So,
I know you've signed it and everything.
Well, no, I'm just going to put it right up over here and, put it right by the...
This is going to be a really long year.
Put it right by the door so that every time, you know, you enter, leave the studio, you'll notice that at least someone cares.
You're not going to let me live this down, are you?
No.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No ease. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.